Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
Our show today, it is Wednesday, July 7th, 2021, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Powhana Friday. We have a lot to talk about today. It's been a very, very busy news day, and as usual, we're going to do news until we run out of news. Then we're going to open up the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials and keeping us out of trouble, so let's get right on into it. Tropical Storm Elsa has become a hurricane again. It made landfall in Florida, and So it's going to cross that state and then go right up the Atlantic coast in various strengths. It's going to bring a lot of wind. And so if you're living in that part of the country, just really keep your eye out and make the appropriate safety precautions and everything. Okay, big news breaking today. Pardon me. former President Donald Trump announced earlier today that he is filing lawsuits against three of the country's biggest tech companies, Facebook, Twitter, and Google, as well as personally suing their CEOs for violations of the First Amendment. It is a class action lawsuit, which means other aggrieved parties will be able to sign on. And basically, the suits were filed in the U.S. District Court for Florida's Southern District, and they are arguing that it is now provable that the social media companies have been acting as agents for the government to control the discussion on various issues like vaccine safety, stolen elections, the justification for wars. And once these companies are, shown to be government agencies operating on behalf of the government, their immunity evaporates. And a lot of people have been making that argument. It is now going to go to court. The other big story is that last night, the president of Haiti, Jovenel Moïse, was assassinated in his home in a nighttime raid. His wife was left seriously injured. Assassins, some spoke Spanish, some spoke English with an American accent. They claimed to be conducting a raid on behalf of the DEA. The DEA, not surprisingly, is saying no, it had nothing to do with us. There were even reports of drones overhead. So this was a major, major operation to get rid of him. And it kind of makes you wonder why they bothered, because Haiti is coming up on new elections in just 2 months' time, to go back to being a democracy. But they went on in there, and right now Haiti's government is saying they were obviously foreigners, they were obviously mercenaries. It was a very professional hit, as it were, and so that's going on. Meanwhile, the U.S. Embassy in Haiti is on lockdown, and U.S. citizens are currently trapped at the Port-au-Prince Airport, which has been closed down. The U.S. government says they are monitoring the situation, so we'll see what is going to develop then. Over at the White House, Joe Biden was asked about the latest ransomware attack on U.S. companies, and once again, he had to refer to note cards to deal with the questions from reporters, asking these questions. And again, we may assume the reporters are pre-selected and the questions pre-screened, but Biden still has to have note cards. Story coming on out of Investment Watch blog. They're reporting on another story coming out of Town Hall about a Reuters Ipsos poll that was released earlier today, and the results are very bad for Joe Biden. The poll in question was conducted back on June 11th through the 17th, and Joe continues to see an erosion in support, including from Democrats. So it is really not very good. Now, given how much press Trump is attracting to himself with this lawsuit against the tech giants, I would say it's a good bet that he has in fact, decided to run again in 2024. And right now, he is polling just ahead of Kamala Harris, and certainly well ahead of Joe Biden. Meanwhile, in another survey of likely 2022 voters, only 36% believe Biden is really running the White House, and the majority is saying that somebody else is directing his agenda. And yeah, I would say that would probably be an accurate thing. Oh, by the way, we did get a lovely 4th of July message from Joe Biden wishing us a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now, another aspect of the Biden family has now surfaced. We all know about Hunter Biden's substance abuse problems, his porn problems, and the rest of it. But there is a story that came on out from the Daily Mail over in Great Britain pointing out that five members of Biden's close family have been to rehab for drug or alcohol abuse, some at the orders of a judge. Now, Joe himself is a teetotaler because a family member of his was killed by a drunk driver when he was very young. But apparently there are issues with the rest of his family. And I remember back during the campaign when the first information began to surface about Hunter Biden's misbehavior. And I kept saying, if Biden cannot manage his own family, then he's got no business trying to manage a country. Meanwhile, there is a gentleman who's gone public named Antonio Vitoli, and he and his wife operate Jake's Bar and Grill in a small town in Tennessee, and they were denied assistance from the COVID relief fund because he was white, and they took it to court, and this is the lawsuit that resulted in a temporary injunction saying that Biden could not hand out COVID relief funds on the basis of race. And that's certainly, you know, racism in reverse is still racism, and it's still wrong. Now, over in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo issued a gun violence disaster emergency. He is going after the manufacturers of guns to try and deal with the surge in crime, including the July 4th weekend of bloodshed. He's being accused of political grandstanding. And again, going after the gun manufacturers for gun violence makes about as much sense as going after the car manufacturers for drunk driving, or the spoon manufacturers for obesity, or the manufacturers of crowbars for burglaries. It's not going to solve the problem. You're going to solve the problem of crime by cracking down on the criminals. And that is a message resonating with the voters, because after all the glitches and the recounts they had to go through, Eric Adams has been declared the winner of the New York City mayoral primary, putting him on track to succeed Bill de Blasio as mayor this November. And, you know, Tucker Carlson is out there praising Eric Adams, saying, you know, he is he's anti-crime. He's an ex-cop. He acknowledges there is a violent crime problem in New York, and he wants to do something about it. He's not just going to sit back there and say, oh, it's all the fault of the guns, and we're going to get those guns, and that will solve the problem. Which, by the way, it's never happened in history. Okay, even, you know, the strictest gun control never keeps the guns out of the hands of criminals. It just gives the smugglers something else to bring in across the border, or a clandestine workshop, something else to make to sell at an elevated price. Over in Minneapolis, and this is not going to help the situation over there, the Minneapolis police hit and killed the uncle of Darnella Frazier, who filmed George Floyd's murder. And the police crashed into his Jeep while chasing a stolen vehicle that had been carjacked. And they are investigating if the police car had its lights and sirens on, as would be required for a high-speed chase. And Let's see. Okay, we have a bit of a problem with Skype again. Locking up on us, so we're going to have to restart this on the next break. Anyway, I really do not like Skype at all. I really do not. The uncle of the 18-year-old woman who filmed the arrest of George Floyd was killed. Now, she won a Pulitzer Prize for that video that she shot. Okay. And getting on back to that little altercation over by on the I-95 in Massachusetts over the weekend, these 11 members of the Rise of the Moors Sovereign Citizen Militia refused to cooperate at their arraignment. They continue to claim they are not subject to U.S. laws. And again, the story here is this is a black militant group armed and training, and meanwhile the government and the corporate media are out there saying, well, you know, white supremacists and white militias, and they're the problem, and blacks are okay and they're victims and we shouldn't pay attention to them. So several members of the Rise of the Moors Sovereign Citizen Militia have appeared in court for arraignment where they refused to cooperate and rejected the court's authority. So it's getting interesting out there. All righty. Now, getting on back to New York, specifically Manhattan, there is a Democrat, Alvin Bragg. It looks like he will become the next district attorney of Manhattan in New York City, and he's promising he will not prosecute a series of crimes, including trespassing, prostitution, and resisting arrest for nonviolent offenses. And he's out there saying that he's running on a platform to stop these prosecutions despite surges in crime all across New York City. And he says he strongly rejects any notion that prosecutions for low-level offenses should be used as a proxy for addressing serious and violent crimes. Bragg has vowed not to prosecute suspects for marijuana misdemeanors, turnstile jumping, trespassing, driving with a suspended license, prostitution, and obstructing the work of the New York Police Department. So, you know, New York criminals are going to be celebrating that quite a bit. Alrighty, Roger Waters is out there talking about Julian Assange, who, by the way, just turned 50. Had his birthday in prison. And so Pink Floyd frontman Roger Waters is out there saying the Julian Assange movement, the Free Julian Assange movement, is growing, but the corporate media is ignoring it because they are still afraid of the ruling class, which absolutely wants their pound of flesh from Julian Assange, even though their entire case has imploded on them because the single informant on which the superseding indictment was based, has now admitted just making it all up out of thin air. Over at the U.S. Capitol, the acting sergeant at arms apparently accidentally confirmed that Lieutenant Mike Byrd was the person who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt. And so we have a name and we have a photo. And there should be a reminder that only one person was murdered during the January 6th protest, and that was Ashley Babbitt. All righty. Over at, former ABC News analyst and Republican strategist Matthew Dowd joined Joy Reid on MSNBC, basically saying that January 6th was worse than 9/11. And that, to me, is a real stretch, and it just shows how desperate the propaganda is getting to try and turn this, into a horrible, horrible event that they can, trash Donald Trump with. Now, Bill Cosby, one who would assume, after getting out of prison, would probably be kicking back and relaxing and taking life easy. But no, he's already out there and basically came on out saying it's time to expose the insurrectionist media and cancel culture saying that they're all out there trying to destroy the Constitution. And I do agree with Bill on that one. Meanwhile, Kate Chatfield, a senior director in District Attorney Chesa Boudin's office, this is in San Francisco, is comparing those who complain about crime and protecting their wives and family to members of the KKK. So that's the new spin. If you're opposed to the increasing crime across the country, you must be racist and a member of the KKK. All righty. Getting into the election fraud, the Arizona Senate President Karen Fan is saying that Maricopa does not really need to replace all their election machines. It appears they just wanted to try and get rid of them before somebody could do a computer analysis on them to see if the software was behaving correctly. And Arizona Senate has subpoenaed those machines and the passwords and the routers, and the election officials in Maricopa County are still continuing to drag their heels and basically defy the Senate on that one. Down in Louisiana, pardon me, their Democratic Governor Edwards has vetoed a bill protecting individual freedoms and trying to secure honest elections, and there may be a special session of the Louisiana legislature later this month in which they will override his veto. So it is really becoming a major fight. All righty. Story coming on out of Wisconsin saying it's time for the people of Wisconsin to demand a real forensic audit of the 2020 ballots in their state. And I certainly agree with that one. There should be a forensic audit in every state of the union for the 2020 election, and not just for the president, for the House seats and the Senate seats. It was just an incredibly crooked election. That is becoming rapidly obvious. Over in Pennsylvania, State Senator Doug Mastriano is out there trying to initiate a forensic probe of the 2020 and 2021 elections. And he's already issued letters to several counties requesting information and materials that would enable such an investigation. And they want to take a hard look at the software, the machine, the scanners. They want to hand count the ballots themselves to see if they were hand filled in or if they were copied by a machine. That seems to be something that's coming up over and over and over again. Okay. Now, here, this is getting really, really desperate. The Biden administration and the ACLU are out there arguing that any protections against election fraud are racist. You know, they're saying apparently an honest election is not fair because it discriminates against the preferred minorities who need fraudulent elections to make up for their past oppressions. And we're into real Twilight Zone stuff here with this kind of stuff. Alrighty, getting on to COVID-19, the FDA has reversed itself again. They're now rejecting the COVID antibody test results, especially for people who've had the vaccine who then test positive. And again, it's just utter chaos. They don't really know what they're doing out there. Meanwhile, the Delta variant of COVID-19 has sort of come and gone, and it really didn't generate a lot of fear. I think people are on COVID burnout here. So now they're out there pushing the Lambda strain, and sooner or later they're going to run out of letters in the Greek alphabet. And they're out there claiming that the Lambda COVID-19 strain may be resistant to vaccines. So you're going to have to get more vaccines now. Money, 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 money. Yes. And it's going to keep on going. And over at Facebook. Oh, got to take a break for commercials. Okay, we're going to restart Skype and try and get things back online here. We'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it. As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about COVID-19, and over at Facebook, there was a group of COVID vaccine victims, and Facebook, needless to say, has basically shut them down because they don't want the public to know that these vaccine shots are actually harming people and killing people. And these life-threatening effects of the mRNA injections continue to climb. People are trying to get the warnings out there, and corporate social media is shutting them down. Now, I want to remind everybody about the 1976 swine flu vaccine debacle, and had the media of the day silenced those who were talking about the possible harm from the swine flu vaccine, the death toll would have been a lot higher, because the vaccine killed a lot more people than the swine flu itself did. And we seem to be back in that territory again. Meanwhile, the CDC is still insisting that, there may be some problems of dangerous side effects with the mRNA vaccines, but clearly the benefits outweigh those risks. And, we're looking at, 1,200 cases of myocarditis, reported in people who received the mRNA vaccines. This was all experimental stuff. You know, it's not approved. It's not tested. It's not really handled very well. Story coming on out of Zero Hedge. The latest propaganda to support the COVID industry, if you will, they're now blaming racism and the Russians for vaccine hesitancy. And, you know, that's it. If you don't get a vaccine, you're being racist. Any posts that you see online questioning vaccine safety, it's Russian propaganda. Those gosh darn Russians, they don't want you to get the vaccine, so you'll die off and won't be there for the coming war. Over at Wikipedia, there is this gentleman, Dr. Robert Malone, and he's publicly warning against giving the experimental gene therapy vaccines to young people, and said there was insufficient information about the injections to give informed consent. So he has now been removed from Wikipedia. The problem is that Dr. Robert Malone is the guy who invented the mRNA technology. So if anybody is going to be an authoritative voice on this, it's going to be this guy. And Wikipedia just deleted him. I mean, it's just amazing. Another study has come out of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology showing that social distancing and occupancy limits were completely pointless. They were useless in stopping the spread of COVID-19. It was just something the government did to look like they were doing something in the face of something that they really didn't know anything about. All right, let's talk about the international news now. The Taliban have launched their first assault on a provincial capital in Afghanistan. This is in the western city of Kala Idna, the capital of Baghdad, and they have taken control of all the surrounding districts. They're just going like gangbusters. And again, we're seeing more and more government forces surrendering overnight, turning over their weapons, shaking hands with the Taliban, those that are not heading for the border, of course. Meanwhile, over in Syria and Iraq, Biden has kicked over a hornet's nest with that recent bombing of his along the border. You know, for what we were told were Iranian-backed militias, and Iran has said, no, we had nothing to do with them. And Syria and Iraq are saying, no, those were our people, and they are now fighting back. And U.S. forces are under a constant rain of fire in both Syria and Iraq. The largest American base in Syria at the Al Omar oil field was hit by at least 8 rockets. No casualties, but significant material damage. A week later, reports surfaced of another rocket attack on Al Omar. The U.S. is now trying to deny the reports, saying that they're just live fire exercises and everything is all hunky-dory. Meanwhile, U.S. convoys in Iraq are being hit with IED attacks. The most recent one took place on July 5th in the Baghdad Governorate. In Iraq, there were 5 attacks in less than 72 hours. Injuries were reported. At least 14 rockets hit Ain Assad base earlier today in the second such attack on the installation in as many days. 2 Americans were injured. Military people were injured. They don't know if they're Americans or partner forces, but it's not going well. Over in Iran, they have been hit by a series of major electricity blackouts. All right, got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks, then they tell us. The banks are too big to fail when the banksters all need to be in jail.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about Iran dealing with major electricity blackouts, plunging entire cities into darkness. And they're saying the power cuts have also hit neighboring Iraq. And Iraq is reliant for much of its electrical supply on Iran's infrastructure. And it's being pushed that this shows that Iran's government is letting the people down. But when I first heard this story, the first thing that occurred to me was this was an act of sabotage. Somebody hacked into the computers on the power grid and started causing trouble. Of course, we can't hear Iran's view of this because the U.S. government shut down the websites of all Iranian media except for PressTV.ir, and I was unable to find anything about the blackouts one way or the other when I went there just before airtime. Meanwhile, Armenia and Azerbaijan are apparently shooting at each other over their border, and this is the latest incident since a halt in clashes between the two neighbors over the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region last year. So that is kicking up. And Baku dismissed reports of the clash and injuries and said it may be an internal incident between the Armenian troops. So we'll see what happens there. This is getting a little bit out there. Over in Ukraine, Alexei Danilov is out there saying that the French and the Germans are to blame for Ukraine and Georgia losing control over swaths of territory. And he said that France and Germany must bear moral responsibility for Ukraine and Georgia losing territory. And basically saying that France's actions led to Kiev losing control over Crimea as well as parts of the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. And again, Crimea and the Donetsk and Luhansk regions want to go their own way ever since the U.S.-backed coup d'etat put in a junta in Kiev. And these people are saying this is not our government. They don't represent us. They represent foreign interests, and we want out. Over in the United Kingdom, and apparently following on Matt Hancock's embarrassment over his affair with Gina Colodangelo, the government is launching this attack on freedom of expression under the guise of national security. And among the measures being considered or already underway are a reformed Official Secrets Act that will conflate investigative journalism and whistleblowing with espionage. That is a very, very dangerous precedent. And their equivalent of the Freedom of Information Act is being crippled by rejecting requests and under-resourcing. And at an individual level, ministers and senior officials can now escape scrutiny by using encrypted messaging services that do not keep a copy of the messages being sent. And remember, secrecy begets tyranny. So we're heading that way. Over in France, a little bit of good news. Marine Le Pen has been reelected as leader of the French right-wing National Rally Party. And with less than a year to go until France's next presidential election, polls show Le Pen closing in on Macron. And yeah, I think that would be a good thing here. Meanwhile, over in China, Beijing has issued an official protest after Japan indicated that it would join the United States to defend Taiwan in case of a Chinese attack. And Beijing is very upset about that. And they're rattling their sabers pretty hard. There was a story over at Blabber Buzz where China has released their invasion plans for Taiwan, and it is a three-phase attack. The first is with ballistic missiles and cruise missiles to take out Taiwan's military facilities. This would be followed by fighter jet attacks, and then finally by amphibious landings on Taiwan's shores. And of course, I'm sure the real plans are somewhat different. They're not going to give away the secret. But it's just another way of China showing their resolve to retake Taiwan. And, you know, I feel bad for the people of Taiwan. But again, we have got so many problems here in this country. Why are we even involved over there? Well, you know, the U.S. wants to meddle with other countries. It's sort of a tradition for the government. And you know, but for ordinary Americans, you know, dealing with what we're dealing with, how does what China and Taiwan do affect our lives? And the answer is it doesn't really. And we don't really want to annoy China because so much of our current economy is dependent on Chinese imports. And if they were to be cut off, that would be a major problem. I mean, just look what the chip shortage is already doing. Shutting down auto production lines and problems like that. If we were to become enemies of China, there would be a major, major economic upheaval. Now, in the long run, that might stimulate the revival of manufacturing in this country. But certainly for the near term, it would be a major problem. Getting into the economic news, And we've been hearing, companies moaning and groaning about how, the jobs are coming back, but they can't find people willing to work. And, one of the explanations is people want to work, but they don't want to work for minimum wage. They want to have a job that pays a decent wage or salary in order, that they can have a decent life like their parents' generation did. But there's another factor at work, and there's a new report out saying, this is from the job platform Monster, saying that 95% of workers are considering quitting. They're just totally burned out on their jobs. And something that happened during the COVID lockdowns that was not foreseen by our economic planners is a lot of people didn't just sit at home drinking beer and eating popcorn and watching TV. They went the entrepreneurial route. They started home businesses or online businesses. A lot of artists who never had the courage to try selling their art, they went on out and they started doing that, and they're finding they're able to make a decent living selling their creative products in galleries and online. And, who would want to give that up to go back and work, in an office job? And the answer is darn few of them. Meanwhile, another story, this one from Blabber Buzz, and, we knew this was coming, okay? Biden's tax policies are pushing the wealthy out of the country. And, they're looking at this $1.5 million increase in taxes for the wealthiest earners over and above the taxes they're already paying. And this is all to pay for Biden's so-called human infrastructure plan, which has got nothing to do with the roads and the rails and bridges and everything to do with the liberal agenda. And the problem is these wealthy Americans, when they leave, it's not just them. Many of them are business owners, and they're going to take their businesses with them, which means all the people working for them in this country are going to be unemployed. And I know the government likes us to argue about who should pay more taxes. Should the rich pay more taxes, or should the middle class pay more taxes, or the poor pay? We're all taxed way too much for what little we get back. I mean, we're not getting value for money. You know, if you total up how much you pay in taxes every year, for the average working person, that's almost $1 million over your working lifetime. And most of it is going to the war machine or to Israel or to all kinds of wasteful blue sky, social engineering projects. Meanwhile, our roads are crumbling, our buildings are collapsing, our dams are in serious degradation. The water infrastructure is clearly failing, as you can see out west. You can't just keep taking money out of the country and not put something back on in, or it's all going to shut down, and we're heading that way right now. Meanwhile, over in Russia, their sovereign wealth fund has now cut their U.S. dollar reserves to absolutely zero, putting the money into the euro, the Chinese yuan, and gold. And so the proportion of U.S. dollars in the fund was reduced from 35% to zero, while the share of the British pound was lowered to 5%. So Russia is definitely delinking our economies. They can see the writing on the wall. They know what's going to happen with the dollar. Now, you've probably been hearing in recent weeks all the talk about how there's a little inflation, and it's transitory, it's not going to last, nothing to worry about here. Well, the International Monetary Fund has a somewhat different outlook. They are now warning that this inflation will be sustained and that the U.S. economy is collapsing. And so make your preparations accordingly. Now, supermarkets are now overbuying products and warehousing them in anticipation of the prices from the suppliers going on up. And so supermarkets are now buying 25% more supplies than they're actually selling. They want to have them on hand because they predict inflation will soar. and cost of essentials like bacon and milk will rise by up to 14%. And that is going to be really ugly. Meanwhile, oil prices have been hammered because the OPEC talks basically failed. Oil prices were up briefly yesterday, but one of the OPEC nations basically said they're going to unilaterally open up the spigot and just let the oil flow, and that will drive oil prices down. Now, and that's going to actually be good news for much of the economy outside of the oil industry, but that's where we're headed. All right, now we reported, I think it was yesterday, it could have been last week, the Pentagon canceled their $10 billion Jedi Cloud computing deal with Microsoft and switched it over to Amazon. And it turned out that before that deal was made public, Nancy Pelosi's husband bought about $6 million in Amazon shares. And so somehow or other, I mean, had a crystal ball, knew what was going to happen, and has made a small fortune from that. Let's talk about immigration here. And a reminder that migration or immigration or whatever you want to call it is a filtering mechanism. You're not getting the best people from those source countries. You're getting the people who couldn't make it at home. They're fleeing prosecution. They're criminals. And so what we're getting is the worst of the people from those host countries. And this story basically illustrates what's going on. There was this illegal alien, 25-year-old Joel Arciniega Saenz. He's an illegal alien with a long criminal record. He was released on bail in New Mexico. He then went on to behead a man, and after beheading him, played soccer with the head. We really don't need this in this country. We really don't. Now, down in Texas, their Attorney General, Ken Paxton, is out there saying that it appears the Biden administration is on the side of the cartels when it comes to the southern border. And I can certainly understand why he would think that. The cartels are heavily involved in human trafficking. They're making a huge amount of money off the illegal immigrants. And, of course, those open borders are allowing for the smuggling of large amounts of illegal drugs into this country as well. So you really do need to ask, you know, whose side is Biden on? And it doesn't appear to be the American people. Meanwhile, the former acting director of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Ron Vitello, was on Fox and Friends first on Monday and said the big problem at the southern border is the cancellation of former President Trump's immigration policies. And he says the blame for this crisis is entirely on Biden. Of course, the Democrats and the Biden administration are saying, oh, this is all Trump's fault. We inherited the mess from him. You know, the Republicans wanted to defund the police and it's all their fault. Anyway, and adding even more problems down in those border camps, COVID-19 is surging out of control. And the new case numbers during the same period now make up 40% of total COVID positives reported by ICE in migration detention centers since March of last year. Now, the Biden administration is moving $860 million in COVID recovery funds. That was money that was supposed to help you deal with all the economic hardship from the lockdown and everything. And now they're going to spend it on housing children in migrant shelters, illegal immigrant children. They're going to be given free housing. And as I said many, many times, as long as you keep handing out free housing and free medical care and free food and driver's licenses to the illegal immigrants, they're going to keep on coming. If you want to stop the illegal immigrant problem, you have to make life more difficult for them here than it is in their home country, and they will turn around and go back home. It is that simple. Okay. Now, getting into political correctness in education, the Biden administration is expanding tuition breaks for future teachers, and he's removing the grade point average requirement in order to provide access to students of color. And basically is going to hand out grants to students of color, again, racism, without paying attention to their academic achievement. And this is a bad direction to be going. I mean, when, you know, I'm in an airplane, I want the A student at those flight controls. If I'm sick, I want the doctor who's an A student taking care of me. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about wokeism or wokies and the wokey monster and political correctness, whatever they're calling it this week. Down in Austin, Texas, the Austin Independent School District is scaling back on discipline in the name of equality because they were noticing that non-white students were being punished more than white students. And what they did not mention in this article is whether there were more non-white than white students, or if the non-white students were simply acting up more than the white students. But you know, apparently it's racist to even mention that here. Article coming on out from Russia Today saying it's time to scrap university. You're just teaching youngsters to be snowflakes. And it's time to go back to trade schools. And it says, you know, everybody's going to university. It's a fashion statement. You have to have that degree. And what are they actually learning how to do that applies to the real world? Because the universities are just creating generations of woke people and snowflakes who sit there and admire their own belly buttons. And instead of gender studies and ways to weaken the language to the point where it's so soft it can never give offense, how about we start teaching young people how to lay bricks, hammer a nail, use a chisel, or plaster a wall? And yeah, and they go on and make a point that I said, I think, about a week or so ago. If a war broke out tomorrow and the United States had to call up the snowflake youth of today, how would they fare against an enemy? Now, in World War I and World War II, it was generally the working man who came to the rescue to defeat the enemy. But the current generation of young people, with all this snowflake and protected space and crayons and Play-Doh and everything, they would just get rolled over. And so we have here two agendas at obvious odds with each other. One is to make the next generation totally brainwashed and weak. At the same time, we're getting ready to launch major wars against much of the rest of the world. Now, the National Education Association was out there basically pushing the idea that critical race theory needed to be taught in all the schools regardless of the law. And I guess their lawyers kind of got to them, or somebody got to them, because very quietly they have now scrubbed that pro-critical race theory pledge from their website. Alrighty, we're going to start taking phone calls now. The lines are open, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Melissa in Maryland. Hello, Melissa. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Well, okay, I guess everybody should be sitting down for this. This is rather new, but what do you know about the recent announcement, call it what you will, that there's going to be door knocking and probing and asking if we've been vaccinated and then attempting to vaccinate us? And I don't know if it's going to be going on in every state and in every part of
okay,
every
Melissa,
state.
Okay, Melissa, I got to put you on hold. We got to take a break for
station identification.
Don't hang up. I'm going to come right back to you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.